Okay, so we'll read from the Adi Lila, chapter 1, and text number 47. Shiksha Guru Ke Tajani Krishnera Swarup. Antaryami Bhakta Shresta Edui Rup. Shiksha Guru Ke Tajani Krishnera Swarup. Antaryami Bhakta Shresta Edui Rup. Shiksha Guru Ke. The spiritual master who instructs. Ta, indeed. Jani, I know. Krishnera, of Krishna. Swarupa, the direct representative. Antaryami, the indwelling supersoul. Bhakta, Shrestha, the best devotee. A, these. Dui, two. Rupa, forms. One should know the instructing spiritual master to be the personality of Krishna. Lord Krishna manifests himself as the super soul and as the greatest devotee of the Lord. Purport. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami states that the instructing spiritual master is a bona fide representative of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna himself teaches us as the instructing spiritual master from within and without. From within he teaches as Paramatma, our constant companion, and from within he teaches from the Bhagavad Gita as the instructing spiritual master. There are two kinds of instructing spiritual masters. One is the liberated person fully absorbed in meditation and devotional service, and the other is he who invokes the disciple's spiritual consciousness by means of relevant instructions. Thus, the instructions in the science of devotion are differentiated in terms of the objective and subjective ways of understanding. The acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. When learning from the self-realized spiritual master, one actually engages himself in the service of Vishnu. Functional devotional service begins. The procedures of this devotional service are known as abhideya, or actions one is duty-bound to perform. Our only shelter is the Supreme Lord, and one who teaches how to approach Krishna is a functioning form of the personality of Godhead. There is no difference between the shelter-giving Supreme Lord and the initiating and instructing spiritual masters. If one foolishly discriminates between them, he commits an offense in the discharge of devotional service. Sanatana Goswami is the ideal spiritual master, for he delivers one the shelter of the lotus feet of Madan Mohan. Even though one may be unable to travel on the field of Vrindavan, due to forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can get an adequate opportunity to stay in Vrindavan and derive all spiritual benefits by the mercy of Sanatana Goswami. Sri Govinda ji acts exactly like the Shiksha Guru instructing spiritual master. By teaching Arjuna the Bhagavad Gita, he is the original preceptor, for he gives us instructions and an opportunity to serve him. The initiating spiritual master is a personal manifestation of Srila Madan Mohan Vigraha, whereas the instructing spiritual master is a personal representative of Srila Govinda Dev Vigraha. Both these deities are worshipped at Vrindavan. Srila Gopinath is the ultimate attraction and spiritual realization. So here we have a combination of Krishna, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. and how they're interrelated. Generally speaking, our first exposure to Krishna consciousness is through the Shiksha Guru, of which there's two types, Vartma Pradaksha and Shiksha Guru. So Vartma Pradaksha means one who preliminary gives us, well, first instructs us about the science of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada mentions there are two types of Shiksha Gurus. One who is absorbed in transcendence and sees everything objectively. That is, one who is actually situated in pure consciousness of Krishna. Sarva-bhutastam atmanam, sarva-bhutani-chatmani, ikshate yoga yukta atma sarvatra samadarshanaha, yomam pashiti sarvatra, sarvam chamayi pashiti, tasyaham na pranashami, sachame na pranashiti. The true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized soul sees me the same Supreme Lord everywhere. And for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. In other words, the actual self-realized soul, he has an equal relationship with Krishna everywhere. Loving relationship. But there are those who are not on that level, but they're on the path of Krishna consciousness. And therefore they can give relevant instructions. They may not be self-realized, but they should be at least more self-realized than the persons that are instructing. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Nectar of Instruction, that, same thing actually, he goes through in the fifth verse, Prabhupada elaborately goes over what the qualifications are for Kanista, Madhyam, and Uttama in terms of practicing devotional service and what the symptoms are. And he gives us practical for each one, practical symptoms for each one of them. But there's a deeper underlying consciousness behind each one of them also. But because we don't necessarily, our vision is not so refined, therefore we tend to take shelter of the more external manifestations of the different symptoms of progress in devotional service. For instance, for the neophyte devotee, generally, they chant Hare Krishna, but they're not so carefully understanding how to deal with other devotees. For the Madhyama Adhikari, they know, well, they have firm faith in Krishna, but they can't always support their faith with reference from Shastra. And for the Uttama Adhikari, they follow strictly all the rules and regulations. They're always following the prescribed rules and regulations, or always chanting the minimum of 16 rounds a day. They're always thinking of how to expand the Hare Krishna movement. And then Prabhupada gives a much more elaborate, subtle, we could say, esoteric description of the Uttama Adhikari, one who knows that there's no difference between Krishna and his name. One who's has realized his spiritual identity and always engaged in spreading the Hare Krishna movement. Such a person should be accepted as an Uttama Adhikari, and everything one has should be offered to him. Especially the brahmacharis they collect, whatever they have should be given to the Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava. But if one is actually not an Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava, but he imitates the behavior of such a advanced devotee, then he's sure to become degraded. Therefore, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī advises us that we should first of all try to understand what level of devotional service others are on, which is interesting. I think that's what the first thing is. try again. So this is a nectar of instruction. Text number 5. In this verse, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī advises the devotees be intelligent enough to distinguish between the Kanishtha Adhikāri, Madhyama Adhikāri, and Uttama Adhikāri. So generally speaking, it's easier for us to discriminate others, what level they're on. Although it may be not so easy for us to do even that. But generally, if we use our discrimination, we're better at judging others than we are at judging ourselves. Sometimes. So that's the first thing. We should read the symptoms and try to ascertain what level others are at. Because due to our critical nature, we may criticize others because we may imagine, or we may even be correct in our analysis, what level they're at. But actually the verse is about not criticizing, respecting within the mind, but properly behaving towards those who are Kanishtha Adhikāris. Criticism is actually material criticism is the opposite of bhakti. No one can advance in bhakti by criticizing. So if one is criticizing devotees, then one is sure either to become degraded or best stay on the same neophyte level of consciousness. In other words, if one is spending his time criticizing neophytes, then one is sure to stay a neophyte, because one has not even understood the first instruction not to criticize neophytes. And then Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī says the devotee should also know his own position, not try to imitate a devotee situated on a higher platform. So this is an instruction that Krishna gave twice in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has 700 verses, and in those 700 verses, Krishna repeats two instructions. One of them is Shreyan Swadmo Viguna Paradharmat Sunustitat. Shre dharme nidhanam shreyak para dharmo bhayavaha. Shreyak swadamo viguna. It's very better to shreyak swadamo. Swadamo means one's own dharma, one's own duty. Now there's two different types of duties for a conditioned soul. One is the possible duty in the varna and ashram system. So Krishna did not want Arjuna to imitate a Brahmin and flee the battlefield on the plea of nonviolence. But there's also the Swadharma of spiritual duty. For instance, our spiritual duty is to chant Hare Krishna. It doesn't matter what varna or ashram we're in, we're given that instruction because that instruction pertains to the soul. Now, Shreya Swadhamo Viguna Paradharmat Swanustitat. So, Swanustitat, it is better to perform one's own prescribed duty, although Viguna, there may be some fault in it. Shreya Swadhamo Viguna Paradharmat Swanustitat. Shreyadharmo Nididam Shreyak. Even if one can do another duty better, it won't help one if one does that duty. Para dharmo bhayavaha. To do someone else's duty is dangerous. In other words, if we do someone else's duty, we'll be neglecting our duty. So that will bring us a reaction for neglecting what we're supposed to be doing. And we'll be doing someone else's duty, so we'll be taking their duty over, so we get the reaction for interfering with their duty. So both ways we lose, doing someone, imitating. For instance, if we pretend that we're Uttama Adhikāris and that people should follow us, and we're not actually Uttama Adhikāris, then we're taking over the duty of an Uttama Adhikāri and misleading people. And the actual Uttama Adhikāri, for instance, which is found in Prabhupada's books, his instructions, people who neglect those instructions, and therefore double trouble, following the wrong person and neglecting the right person. So this fifth verse in the next instruction is especially meant to warn us not to follow the wrong instructions and neglect the right instructions. So we should know what level we're on so we don't mislead people. If we're struggling just to chant 16 rounds, then we can tell people something about how to chant 16 rounds, but we shouldn't try to tell people that we know exactly what they need, how to chant 16 rounds, if we can't even chant 16 rounds ourselves. So, similarly, if we're on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, we can't claim that every verse I quote is coming from my heart, from self-realization, that we know exactly what the conclusion, what the siddhanta is. Such a person who doesn't know the siddhanta and strongly pushes forward his conclusions as absolute, when he doesn't actually know what the siddhanta is, he's misleading himself and misleading others. And whatever the real siddhanta is, people may not, even when it's presented to them, they may not recognize it. So the devotee should know, Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura has given some practical hints to the effect that an Uttamadhikari Vaishnava can be recognized by his ability to convert many fallen souls to Vaishnavism. Now, of course, we can count the number of disciples someone has and maybe conclude, well, he has so many disciples, he converted so many people to Vaishnavism. Well, that would be pretty easy. We wouldn't have to use our intelligence at all, nor would we have to go any further like reading Shastra to figure out who's on the Uttama Adhikari platform. But although this may be a symptom, but actually we cannot take credit for everyone who joins the movement and takes initiation from us, because there's a whole lot of other people involved, a whole lot of other devotees and circumstances involved in people becoming devotees. As a matter of fact, many people take initiation because they hear about how glorious someone is, and therefore they don't know the person, but they assume that the person they know, who they have faith in, is actually correct. So actually their faith doesn't lie with the person that's giving them initiation. Their faith lies with the person who's recommending them to take initiation. So, simply, the number of disciples one has may not be an indication. As a matter of fact, it may be different from an actual indication of who's a Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava. But one's ability to convert many fallen souls to Vaishnavism has to have some practical demonstration. Like Srila Prabhupada, without any help, he went to New York City. People were not trained in Vaishnavism. They were trained in the opposite of Vaishnavism. And yet he made so many devotees there. As a matter of fact, he went around the world and were practically unaware of Krishna, they became aware of Krishna. So one should not become a spiritual master unless he's attained the platform of Uttama Adhikari. So then one may say, well, there's so many devotees that are giving initiation, they must be all Uttama Adhikaris, or else they must be cheating us. Because it says here, you shouldn't become a spiritual master unless you attain the platform of Uttama Adhikari. Yes, that's Prabhupada's warning, because it's probably the most dangerous position in devotional service is to take the position of Krishna, which is why everyone came to the material world in the first place, to take the position of Krishna. And then when you officially get the position of taking Krishna's position, you can actually very easily get yourself into trouble. Why? Because people offer you so much praise. They may offer you material wealth. And if you actually believe that you are this body, or you're the doer, or the spiritual energy that's working is actually your energy, then you once become fallen. If you don't realize that the spiritual energy is manifesting in what I believe to be myself, which is actually just the spiritual energy working. And it's only working because I've agreed to become the humble servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and therefore I'm not interfering with the spiritual energy. But as soon as one starts taking credit for the workings of the spiritual energy, then one is an illusion. And there is no more spiritual energy in illusion. So that subtlety of identifying oneself as the doer rather than simply the instrument is quite subtle. And one can easily fall victim of imagining oneself to be deserving praise, deserving wealth, and therefore utilizing it in a way that may not be healthy for one's own spiritual advancement or the spiritual advancement of others. But an Uttamadhikari doesn't make mistakes because an Uttamadhikari realizes his actual identity and his relation, and he sees how the spiritual energy is working and that it's not his work, it's the spiritual energy's work. And he doesn't interfere either with the spiritual energy or with his devotional own personal devotional service to his spiritual master. One should not become a spiritual master unless he's attained the platform of Uttamadhikari. A neophyte devotee, Vaishnav, or Vaishnav situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples. So, it's not forbidden in the absence of a big tree, then little trees have to take the position of a tree. Because people have to become initiated. Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion that sannyasis in the section dealing with one should not initiate so many disciples and that section or construct so many temples. So Prabhupada writes in that purport, in his purport, that sannyasis are traveling everywhere and they give initiation, even in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even sannyasis give initiation. Generally it was the Brahmin householders who would give initiation, like Sandipani Muni. Because they'd stay in one place and they actually had time to train up their disciples. But even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, the sannyasis, they even give initiation. Because without giving initiation, there's no expansion of the Hare Krishna movement. Now, initiation is actually meant to change people's consciousness from being material das to Krishna das. Without that change of consciousness, without that change of understanding that I'm actually Krishna's servant and everything I should do should be under Krishna's representatives, following their instructions, according to Guru Sadhana Shastra, to please Krishna, without having that mentality, then initiation is at least incomplete, if not very beneficial. If after changing one's name, one continues on with the same mentality and activities, then the initiation doesn't really have any real effect. In any case, sometimes in the absence of Uttama Adhikari Vaishnavas, Madhyama, which is when we talk about Madhyama here, we're not talking about, he's just a Madhyama, or he's just a Kanista. This would be a great misunderstanding due to our Kanista mentality, as if there's one kind of Kanista and they're all not very advanced in devotional service, because the examples of the Kanista Adhikaris in the Nectar Devotion are on the lowest level of Kanista is Gajendra, who is in distress. And on the next level, there is Dhruva Maharaj, who is desiring wealth or material benefit. And then we have the Sonaka Rishi and the sages of Naimisharanya, who are inquisitive. Oh, they're quite elevated personalities. And then we have the four Kumaras, who are the Brahmins. So the topmost, the perfect Brahmin, he's the example of the topmost Kanishta Adhikari, knowing what we should want to demean or quite elevated personalities. But when we begin the process of pure devotional service, then we begin acting on the Madhyama Adhikari platform. We may not be on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, that is the Anishtita Bhajana Kriya, we still may be bothered by our anarthas, and we still may commit aparads, and therefore be classified as Kinista Adhikaris. But if we act on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, then we're considered to be, at least at that time when we're acting on that platform, liberated. So the Madhyama Adhikari platform, one loves Krishna, the actual Madhyama Adhikari, he loves Krishna. He does his activities out of love for Krishna, because the anarthas and aparads don't disturb him. And he makes friendship with the devotees. He cooperates with them specifically to develop their Krishna consciousness and to help innocent people become elevated in pure devotional service, to the platform of devotional service also. And he avoids the atheists, or he knows how to defeat them. So this is Madhyama Adhikari, actually quite an advanced devotee. Even the Uttama Adhikari, who sees everyone in relation to Krishna and loves everyone equally, then he comes down to the Madhyama Adhikari platform to preach. Otherwise, there's no preaching. But the best preacher is the Uttama Adhikari who comes down because he knows how to preach perfectly. Whatever he does is perfectly, including to take the position of a Madhyama Adhikari. So a neophyte Vaishnava or a Vaishnava situated on the intermediate platform can also accept disciples, but such disciples must be on the same platform. And it should be understood that they cannot advance very well toward the ultimate goal of life under his insufficient guidance. So that's why we have ISKCON. That's why we have a GBC. Because if we think, even if we are Uttama or Madhyam or Kanista, that the movement's not going to spread unless there's cooperation between all of them. And if someone is actually Uttama, then he should be perfectly following Prabhupada. And if he's perfectly following Prabhupada, then he should be acting as a Madhyam. And if he's acting as a Madhyam, unless somehow or another he's recognized by everyone as an Uttama, and then he'd still be acting as a Madhyam like Srila Prabhupada was acting, then he has to follow Madhyams, cooperate. He has to cooperate with the other devotees, although he may give perfect instructions if he's actually an Uttama, so that others would recognize and know how to cooperate. He'd show the perfect example of cooperation if he was actually an Uttama. And if one is actually not an Uttama and he takes a position, he gives independent instructions, he has independent finances, he has independence in different ways from the whole community of Vaishnavas, then the result is that his guidance will not only be insufficient, but it'll actually be in many ways misdirecting. That, as Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. So if we're not cooperating, then the question is, how much love do we have for Prabhupada? And if we don't have love for Prabhupada, how are we connected with our disciple succession? And we're not so much connected with the disciple succession, then at best our guidance is going to be insufficient, or at worst it may be misleading in some respects. It's not that everyone is absolutely off. We may be practicing in different ways, but there is essential things that will help promote our advancement in Krishna consciousness, and there are other things that may tend to mislead us in actually what our goal is and how to achieve it. Therefore, a disciple should be careful to accept an Uttama Adhikari as a spiritual master. So this has led to many misunderstandings. Oh, there's no Uttama Adhikaris in ISKCON, so we have to go out, find one in the Gaudiya Math or at some Babaji in Radhakund, and then we can actually make spiritual advancement. But believe it or not, there are probably not so many Uttama Adhikaris in Radhakund either, who are smoking ganjis and keeping ladies. nor on the Gaudiya Math have they displayed cooperation, which is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada wanted. And if they don't display that, then where is the question of being Uttama? Even Madhyam. Therefore, one may have to be, at least the leaders of the society, have to be a little humble and show cooperation rather than independence. Rather than trying to manifest themselves as Uttamas and therefore convince devotees that actually I am an Uttama, you don't have to worry, you can take initiation from me and I can give you full guidance. Well, in that purport we were reading, the Prabhupada wrote that there are two types of bona fide instructing gurus. One is situated in transcendence and sees everything clearly, and the other one gives relevant instructions. So both are bona fide representatives of Krishna. Krishna Shiksha Guru Ke Tejani Sarup Antaryami Bhakti Shresta Eduri Rup. The best is the Bhakti Shresta, the perfect devotee. He can perfectly give the instructions of the Uttama Adhikar, of the Antaryami, the Supersoul. But if one is giving relevant instructions, those are also coming from Krishna. And will help those who are, as Prabhupada writes, must be on the same platform. It can help others, even on the same platform or lower, make spiritual advancement. But Prabhupada also writes that the acharya, in the true sense of the term, who's authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple with full spiritual knowledge and then thus awakens them to the activities of devotional service. So the combined instructions, the cooperation, the searching through Prabhupada's books humbly by the devotees will probably wind up with a more clear understanding of what the Uttama Adhikari would, the instructions he would give, than if simply independently or individually we start giving our own instructions without actually trying to humbly, thoroughly investigate and then come up with the best conclusion, the best vision possible, which is probably we'll get the most mercy of Krishna, the most direct intelligence coming from Krishna and realization, than if everyone just does everything independently. That's sure to be a failure. That's what the Gaudiya Math did. They wanted so many acharyas. Prabhupada said they got so many acharyas. None of them strictly followed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's instructions. And therefore all they wound up was a little math here and there, And, of course, we have big projects, we have big whatever going on in ISKCON right now. But that may not last. If the acharyas in our society, those who are taking the position, can't really train up their followers to actually become Vaishnavas, then after their disappearance, then their societies that they've created, their projects they created, will also fall apart, as we've already seen. We've had very nice, comparatively exalted devotees in our society, and they've made very nice projects. But after their disappearance, their projects diminished greatly. So then we have to really see if there were such if they were on the highest level, then they should have been able to train up some of their disciples to actually take over their projects and push them forward, at least maintain them, or else then one may be the quality of cooperation, the quality of working within the society may be demonstrated by the fact of the lack of success after of their projects after they disappeared. So it just may be utilized for Krishna as an indication that we should work together and try to make our decisions not based upon collective investigation of Guru Sadhana and Shastra, rather than simply rely upon individual devotees and their personal realizations. So, we'll stop there. Any questions?
I suppose that sometimes it may happen that a guru will accept a disciple who is higher on a spiritual platform than himself. So I'm wondering, what are the complications that come out of such arrangement?
Are you worried about it?
I'm wondering.
Well, he's probably going to commit offenses.
The guru or the disciple?
probably the guru will commit offenses. Because then there's Marva. What is that? Marva something. A violation of etiquette. We're not supposed to instruct people who are more advanced than we are. We can mislead them, and then they run the problem that if you're the spiritual master and give an instruction which is wrong, they're obliged to follow it, and they'll get into trouble too. It's like we had Ramachandra Puri trying to instruct the spiritual master. The spiritual master trying to take the position of guru to his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri didn't buy it. He rejected him. So, Madhyada Vikrama, overstepping the proper etiquette, gets one into trouble. Is that right? Anything else?
So, a Shiksha Guru is only one guru, or can be based on our situation or based on our location, it can be changed? Because,
well, Krishna is in everyone's heart. Therefore, potentially every devotee who's practicing devotional service can give a Shiksha. And if we don't see that, then we commit offense against Guru and Krishna. Because ultimately, all instructions, bona fide instructions, are coming from Krishna. Everyone else is an instrument for Krishna. Now, it's not that everyone is going to give us proper instructions according to our time, place, and circumstance, but there are devotees who can see things. And, for instance, an authority within ISKCON, if they ask to do some bona fide devotional service, and we decide, well, you're not my guru, I don't want to listen to you, then we commit offense. Or at least we lose the opportunity to do some devotional service. Yes?
I wonder about the difference between Vartma Pradarshaka Guru and Shiksha Guru. Because sometimes it is said that Shiksha Guru should be also Uttam Adhikari, is equal with Diksha Guru on the same platform.
Who said that?
First chapter, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, same level.
No, well, no? Diksha Guru is not necessarily, as we just read, an Uttam Adhikari either. Why would we suppose that those who are giving me Diksha are necessarily Uttam Adhikaris?
There's one verse, this from Uddhava Gita. It's Sarva Deva Mayo Guru.
No, Mam Charya Mam Vijaniya.
Yes, this one. Navam, first,
but that doesn't say, that doesn't mean that simply because one should know the initiating spiritual master to be like myself.
Yeah.
So then Prabhupada gives the elaborate purport.
Yes.
And he says that that's the mentality, that there's a certain mentality that the spiritual master is like a father who is instructing his son. But Prabhupada also cautions that if one doesn't have that service mentality, then one may not be correctly guiding his disciple. So as we just read, there one should not become a spiritual master unless he has attained the platform of Uttamadhikari. A neophyte devotee, an intermediate devotee, can also accept disciples. But such disciples should be on the same level, and it should be understood they can't advance very well due to insufficient guidance. So it's not that always the initiating guru is an Uttamadhikari.
Yes. Since there are both logics.
There's not two logics, there's only one logic.
Like in one sense it is said that we should accept Uttamadhikari,
yeah,
the spiritual master, but then in the absence of Uttamadhikaris we can also accept
Well, first of all, the devotee generally is not going to be able to judge very well his spiritual master, at least initially, especially, because the neophyte devotee who's taking initiation, he generally doesn't discriminate so well who's on what level. Therefore, he takes initiation. Now, we're taking initiation to ISKCON, where we're supposed to, the devotees are supposed to teach us cooperation. If one is actually a very advanced devotee, then he'll perfectly show and instruct in how to cooperate within ISKCON to spread, to develop and spread Krishna consciousness. So that's how we can best understand on what level my initiating guru is on, how well he's instructing me to cooperate, and how well he's cooperating with their ISKCON society to develop Krishna consciousness and spread it and distribute it. That much we can try to understand. But to try to understand, you know, we can also judge from the other aspects. Now, in any case, our duty is to find devotees, whether, you know, it's our Diksha Guru or our Shiksha Guru, because the Diksha Guru, is we accept him as because he's given a Shiksha, supposedly. That's why we accept that someone is a Diksha Guru, because they're constantly instructing us. In any case, part of his instruction should be to see the example of others who are more advanced than we are in undeviated, unmotivated devotional service, and to take their instructions and follow an example and follow them. It's not that the Diksha Guru says, I gave you initiation, I'm the truth, the way, and the light, no one comes to Krishna except through me. No, he tells us to look, he trains us how to look, see those who are more advanced in unalloyed, uninterrupted service, more than we are, and follow their instructions, so we can come to their platform. Now, if we think we only take instructions from those who are on the topmost level, we'll go nowhere, because we'll commit offense against everyone else who's more advanced than we are, because we're not following their instructions. We'll never even get to the next level that we should get to. What to speak of the highest level? If we can't see anyone more advanced than we are, Prabhupada writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we're at once fallen. And if we can't see someone more advanced than we are, then we should serve them and take their instructions, so at least we can get to the level they're on. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.